There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Pleased to talk about one of the newest, most exciting, almost sci-fi transportation projects now, and that is Hyperloop. Dubai's DP World has signed an MOU with Virgin Hyperloop One, and a feasibility study underway for the Abu Dhabi-Dubai route. But they have competition in the shape of Hyperloop TT, Hyperloop Transportation Technologies. And I'm very pleased now to be joined in the studio by Bebop Gresta, chairman and co-founder of Hyperloop Transportation Technologies. Good morning to you. Thanks very much indeed for coming in, Bebop.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's a real pleasure to have you here. Take us through, please, where you are with the Abu Dhabi government in your talks there and the proposed Abu Dhabi to Al Ain link, both financially and technically.
Yeah, we are very excited. I've been moving in Abu Dhabi 1 year and a half ago to actually point out the importance of this market. I wanted to follow it very closely. We've signed 11 deals around the world, but this market is particularly relevant. When we started to work with the Abu Dhabi government, it was surprising how they are really practical on implementing a real innovation strategy. They have the Vision 2030 that everybody's talking about. It's a real concrete plan. It's not something that they use as a marketing.
I mean, you've got projects in Brazil, China, Indonesia. Your website shouts about the first feasibility study from Cleveland to Chicago.
Yeah, that's the big news.
But yeah, that's fantastic. It's right on the front page of your website. What is the latest, though, in terms of getting the technology to work? Where are you practicing? Where are you setting up your facilities?
So we chose the government of Abu Dhabi because we knew it was challenging. The government of Abu Dhabi, they're very, very keen into analyzing every aspect when they implement a technology. We've been 1 year working on a feasibility study. This was the most extensive and concrete feasibility study ever done by humans on an Hyperloop system.
So have you got anything practical to show?
Well, we did in the previous year. Remember, we are the original company that actually embraced the Abu Dhabi Elon Musk white paper and transformed it into a real project. 1 year and a half after us, there were other companies coming in, but we own the brand Hyperloop in 37 countries. So we are the original Hyperloop. But we're very happy to have competition because we need to create an industry altogether. In Abu Dhabi, the feasibility study was particularly challenging because the government challenged us in every aspect, not only on the technology point, because that was the easiest part. The technology is not super complicated, and we are using technology that already exists.
So the magnetic levitation, yeah?
Yeah, we have a particular advantage in respect of everyone else in the planet because we acquired a technology that is passive levitation, and to explain to the public, in simple terms, imagine to have two magnets.
North and a north.
Yeah, exactly. So you use the repulsion, the natural repulsion of the magnet without the need to actually use electricity to empower the magnet. And it's a huge improvement because what you see in the high-speed rail or the bullet train is systems
like in Shanghai, for instance.
Yeah, like Shanghai. These are systems that actually are powered using electricity. What is bad about it? Well, you have to electrify miles of tracks, and then you have to maintain it. If you see what's happening in Saudi Arabia, for example, the sand is constantly going in the track, creating a lot of safety issues. We don't have that because it's completely passive, so you have just a laminate of aluminium, and the capsule can actually float on this laminate without using electricity.
And then there's somebody at the other end effectively sucking on the straw, pulling the air through it, and pulling the train along.
No, I will never travel in something like that. The reality is that we take out the air from the tube using normal commercial pumps. This is a technology that is 50 years
idea,
old.
Isn't it?
Yeah, right. Well, that was actually the pneumatic tube that, you remember the pneumatic mail that was used at the beginning of the century. But we are using a different approach. We suck out the air and then we levitate the capsule. So it's like floating in space. And then you need a fraction of the energy to push it and actually go at the speed of sound.
Let's assume it works. Big assumption, because it's unproven technology yet, but let's assume it does. What about the costs? Elon Musk was talking about $11 million per mile when he revealed this in 2013. Where do we stand now, your best estimate of cost per mile or kilometre, and how does that stack up against, for example, high-speed rail?
Well, first, you have to imagine that because of the characteristic that I was talking about, you have a very light system. You don't need a lot of technology to actually build the track. You have a tube, you have pumps, you have this laminate of aluminium, and you have all the logic of proportional levitation inside the capsule. Now, the key is to actually be able to move this capsule with a minimal amount of energy, and that's why we need the vacuum. When you have this, you actually are consuming 10 times less than a train, because a train is actually fighting against the resistance of the air. Now, we also added solar panel, and then we use a combination of renewable energy to actually produce more energy than we consume. It seems like it's defeating the law of physics, but in reality it's simple. You just put together several ways to produce energy, and you have the result. The cost per passenger is very minimal. So it's cheaper to build. We are talking about 15 to 20 million per kilometers, and most important, cheaper to maintain.
High speed railway is what, between 20 and 40?
We are talking, well, in Spain is 20 to 40, in Germany is 40 to 60, in US it's 120, like it's comparable to Japan. So we're talking about sometimes six times less than the high-speed rail. But the real question is not how much does it cost, is how long does it take to recoup the investment? Because you have to understand, the entire transportation industry on the ground doesn't make money. It's all subsidized by the state, and it's a constant burden to the GDP of the country.
Is that where your finance is coming from, the Abu Dhabi government?
No, absolutely not. Our model is to actually go to a government and propose a PPP model, public-private partnership. We say, okay, let as the government participate of maximum 30%, we bring the rest of the money, because this system is profitable. We recoup the investment first. The government recoup the investment that is never heard in infrastructure. And then we pay a fee to the government. So it's like subsidized, but reverse. And that's the biggest opportunity I think humanity has to actually get out from the enslavership of subsidies.
Bebop, that's exactly where we have to leave it. And we've got a New York telephone number here, but we've just found out you've actually moved in next door to Brandy, down round the corner in Sustainable City.
All the good people are moving in next door to Brandy.
So it means that we can have you back in more often. Bebop, it's a pleasure to talk. Bebop Gresta, Chairman and Co-Founder, Hyperloop Transportation Technologies. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.